Ready? Good afternoon and welcome everyone. Today is Thursday, July 6, 2017. It is 1 p.m. This is the Dauphin County Board of Commissioners convening for our administrative workshop. We've got a fairly short agenda here today, but some important issues to go over. First item is legal counsel. You guys have an order to... I don't know that we're looking to exchange the order. Let's just go with what's on the agenda. Order number 2017-032 in the matter of approving financing options for purchase of county property sold at sheriff's auction. We were given, I think, Pat, you brought over earlier today, the order.
Thank you.
And the, I might have a copy. I printed
out
one.
The one I emailed
you? Yes, I printed
it
off.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. Wendy has it.
She has it.
So, for a little bit of background, we're doing things a little bit different than our previous sales. Under our previous sales, we've entertained people coming after the sale to make a purchase price. We have a board-approved formula that's confidential on what range Mike can entertain as far as that option. We put that process on hold after the last auction with the idea of introducing installment payments, installment sales for this next auction. So he's been really diligent working with Pat, legal assessment, environmental health, and putting together our next sale, which is August 8th, or at least planned for, in the Ann Basker. And we've introduced this new opportunity, possibly, with approval of this order. To take installments, and I think it's going to be really positive. There's some specifics that go into this, and the main elements for the sake of this order are the duration of time, not to exceed 5 years, minimum payments, I think maximums around $1,400 a month, and 9% interest, couple other things that are highlighted in order. This is not a contract, but will serve as the basis for creating a contract. So it's really important that we get the elements here consistent, that we don't anticipate to change dramatically between what we approve here and the order, the contract that legal is going to provide the purchaser at day of sale. We'll probably have it available beforehand so people can have an opportunity to review it prior to August 8th, but we're about a month out from that sale and looking to advertise for what we approved today for the list of about 24 properties, 25?
25
properties, 12 and 13. 13 new, 12 old, and the only thing that I saw is maybe I read this incorrectly, but on item number 2, cash sales, item number B, balance, no later than 2 business days after the time of sale, purchase. Purchaser shall pay county the balance.
Okay.
Purchaser. I think it's purchaser.
Oh.
That's it. I read it quickly, but that's pretty good, I think, for...
There were just a couple of things that since the last time that we looked at it,
okay,
that we had to change because of the law.
So
yes.
Since what you gave us, this is good. This is final.
Okay.
Final draft?
From my perspective, yes.
I think so. You mean concepts-wise? Do you want to
go
over those?
Yes, concept-wise.
I wouldn't mind if you reviewed if anything we talked about. I didn't catch anything. There were some differences, but I was fine with them.
Okay.
The 20 to 40, 40 to 60, 60 to whatever was a little bit of a clarification on the table that tables you provided to try to get the payment structure in those roughly reasonable and equitable. So I think the payment structure for the big one over $60,000 is like around under $1,500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then a balloon payment at the end of five.
That's what's changed.
I'd like
no
to
balloon
know.
Payment.
No balloon payment.
Yeah.
I thought that's still in here. It says that at the end of the installment under balance payable and contract, purchaser shall pay the remainder of the purchase price under the contract payable in equal monthly statements after 60 months of the date of sale with the length of the term dependent on purchase price. No. Okay, what does that say?
So under the statute, we realize that it reads that you have to...
Equal.
It has to be equal monthly installments. So I think you did make that decision finally.
Yes.
That meant equal Well, it doesn't say monthly. It just says equal installments. So you could do equal installments, and then if you have this balloon,
that's not an equal installment.
Right.
So that was set out by statute.
How do you calculate that? I mean, and keep it under a certain amount?
You've got to extend the time.
You have to extend the time. Well, so it doesn't stop at 60 months.
Extending your time would require putting a balloon payment, and that's where the problem lies.
Apparently.
So if you want him to pay within the 5 years, if that's the max that we're going to go.
I believe that's a good max.
It's just going to be a higher payment than if you'd have thrown in that balloon.
I think it doesn't. You want to stop it at 60 months.
Yes.
So say it's $1.5 million next time. Say we got a piece of property that's $1.5 million. You're not going to stay with that $1,500, whatever your max.
No, that was a previous. I'm saying something that was previously. Right. Mike so had worked out trying to make it a reasonable amount.
We stay with the maximum, or we stay with 60 months.
Well, let's give an example. If we did the 5 years, 60 months. At a $100,000 purchase, that would bring a monthly payment with the 9% interest to $1,450.
Okay.
One of our properties, our most expensive property on here, has a minimum bid of $400,000.
Right.
So after you remove the 20%, then essentially you would have to quadruple that $1,450 payment.
That's grand a month.
Now, on another side to that, that's steep, but it may not be so steep for a developer. And anybody has a right to give more of a down payment. It's not predetermined that it's only 20%. They might want to come in with 50% down in order to make a more reasonable payment, which it would, because they're financing a lesser amount.
Well, I think leaving it at 60 months encourages the guy to get off pop and get something done there.
Mm-hmm. The other philosophy behind that is the county should not act at 9% and 5 years, 60 months, not act as a substitute for a traditional mortgage if they can
secure
one in a traditional sense. Which is that bridge.
And then they wrap that whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, with the
okay.
And because of that, we changed the giving them the contract on the day of sale. They'll be given the contract within that 2 business days, just like he would be expecting the cash if it was a cash sale.
Right.
And that'll give us a couple of days to get the terms of the contract down, because he's right, if they did want to give us more of a down payment, that would then go into the contract.
Calculated anyway.
Yeah.
The key, when you're shifting the burden of 48 hours after sale, you're shifting that burden onto us to get the contract ready.
Yeah.
Rather than him to bring the payment in.
Not for the board to sign it. It would be
right.
Then we'd have more time for that. But.
Right.
Which coincides with the 3 p.m. Thursday time frame for anyone paying with full cash. They have to have that full cash by 3 p.m. on Thursday. So it'd be the same thing. They need to set up an appointment with me rather than randomly pop into my office, which puts them at risk, because I might be at lunch. I don't get lunch that day.
Yeah. Don't let Bowman hear that.
Do we have one of those bill counting machines like the bank?
Send them over to planning.
So I would just set appointments with individuals, like 30-minute spans. That way I can sit down with them. If they have questions about anything, I can explain it to them, or send them to legal if it's something I can't explain. And then they would have 7 days after the point that we hand them the contract to sign. They can sign it on the spot if they're comfortable with that, or they can return it to me in 7 days. But again, it's not, it would take 4 weeks approximately before we get the sheriff's return of sale somewhere in that window, and then bring the whole package to the Board of Commissioners for approval. Approval of the deeds, approval of the contract, same time.
But regardless of whether or not they sign the contract or not, their 20% is non-refundable.
That's correct.
Because we can't just go put it back up for sale again. We miss an opportunity.
Right.
And I only feel comfortable about doing that if we capture that 20%. Why do we give them so much more time to come up with signing the contract? I guess it doesn't really matter after that 20% is down. They're either going to...
Correct.
They missed the opportunity for full purchase price, though. They got it. Well, whatever. They didn't enter into a contract for a month. and they could pay it off. Say they put the 20% down to the minimum asking price, but then they decided they wanted, because if you want to fulfill the end of it, you know, your full contract, you pay it by Thursday at 3, the balance due. So you either need to enter into a contract or full balance due by 3 o'clock.
I think he's going to have to know at the date of sale, because the certificate of sale will have to allow for whether or not it's going to be purchased under contract. So they need to come in knowing that. You know.
It just feels as though, you know, if somebody misses, say they purchase it with the intent to buy it outright,
yes,
$100,000. They do $20,000, and then they don't come in on Thursday by 3 with the other balance of the 80.
They lose it all.
But they say, no, actually, I want to do a contract on that,
contract
on that other 80.
And then they have 7 days. They
can go out and get it.
It's at their comfort level.
Yeah.
But in that 7 days, they can go out and get a loan and then bring in the full price of the loan in the 7 days. And they're, you've actually just given them a 7-day extension. But I guess we either got the extension or we have the contract at the end of 7 days.
If you don't want to go 7 days, we can change that. I mean,
I
was thinking that they might want to show
their lawyer. They're into it for 20% already.
And they will have seen it online, because
yes,
it will be online. So
they'll
have
the draft
opportunity. Yeah.
And the sale is not codified until we have a sheriff's return of sale and it comes back before the board.
Yeah, but it isn't. That's our side. Right. Their side needs to be done. And I think ideally, I don't really care whether they pay for it cash total, but it feels like there should be the same timeline from a standpoint that, and maybe there is, it's just by default, that 7 days.
Yeah, it's a good point, because
it does seem like they're
getting an extra 7 days.
They're getting an extra 7 days, but sometimes it takes that to get through the bank, and you know how banks are with it. I don't know where they're going to go. I don't know their financial situation.
I think that the thought was that you hand somebody a contract, and you can't really, I mean, I guess you could have them sign it there and then, but maybe if you gave them a 3-day out, I mean, because what if they wanted to take it to a lawyer or something?
They should have an opportunity to do that ahead
of
time.
Well,
filling in the gaps of, you know, how much the payment is, that doesn't matter, you know.
Right.
It's the language in the contract. The things that I think a lawyer would want to evaluate is, well, you bought a timber piece of property, but you can't cut the timber until you actually pay for it all.
Yeah.
Those are elements where a lawyer is going to say, well, that's not going to work for you, or, you know, how much wiggle room is in here.
Just let them know what they're getting into.
The specifics of those things.
And
but otherwise, the contract should be very simple. There really isn't anything.
It started out with giving it to them on the day.
Mm-hmm. On the day of the sale?
Yeah. But then it was putting an awful lot of responsibility onto Mike to, you know, make sure it was all...
I think there's going to be a lot of questions ahead of time, you know, and it needs... A contract should be basically done.
Yes.
Almost now. I mean, these are the elements of the contract put into a contract.
Yeah, that'll be done.
I would rather have it sooner rather than later.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think we had talked about real soon and putting
it
together.
Sure.
Yeah. And then there shouldn't be much of an extended timeline for signing the contract. You know,
right.
I think it's the 2 days. If it were up to me in structuring this thing, honestly, I think it's Friday. That's where I've always thought that the day was. In fact, I might have even
Thursday,
told people.
Thursday, because the assessor's office is closed on Fridays, so they'd go downstairs looking for me and just wander around. That's why it's always
Thursday.
We can
have the assessor's office open on a particular... We could probably arrange that. But Thursday at 3 is reasonable. People need to get on this and get it done. So that's fine. But I figured, like, everybody should get it done on the same schedule. You should be signing contracts. You should be taking the 80% balance.
We can go back
that's
to that.
That's my opinion. Unless there's some reason.
I was always under the impression that the sale is not complete until the Board of Commissioners meets one last time in order to sign the deeds.
That's on our side.
Yeah.
But from the buyer's perspective, everything they are responsible for is done.
I have no problem with it taking the contract for a certain amount of period of time, because you got 25 and say 18 of these sell. You're going to be a busy boy on Thursday.
Isn't
afternoon.
That true? And
you
you've got their 20%, whether it's a payment or 80%.
The contracts are the ones.
Yes,
they're the ones risking. Cash, you check it off, count the money. He brings in cash, writes a check, and you go, yep, thank you very much, we'll get your paperwork to you. He's gone. Yeah. But the ones that come in and want to put this on contract,
yeah,
that's going to require some time.
I agree.
So I, you know, if you
the 2 days is all. But so the question is, do you want to allow them 7 days to return it, or just 3 days, another 3 business days?
Well, 3 business days would be Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and you would be in on that. Or are you closed on Monday down there too? Yeah, I don't mind a couple okay. 3 days, but
instead
you know, if we got it, because seven business days put you
yeah.
almost 2 weeks out.
Yeah.
So if we said three, are
three
you
three business days?
So it's sales on Tuesday, 3 business days. Is that Friday or Monday?
Well, they got 2 days to come in and pick
two
up
days.
The contract or pay off. So they get the contract.
Right. After
then Friday is not a business day, correct? Or
yeah.
would we call Friday a business day?
The county business day.
And then then Monday and Tuesday, they'd be back in on Tuesday.
So what you're saying, if I understand this correctly, let's say I get my 20% down on Tuesday. Yeah. Thursday, they sign a contract.
Or pay up.
No.
Or pay up if they choose not to do the contract. Then I can
Thursday
record.
They get a contract.
They get a contract.
They get the contract.
And then on Friday, I can take this memorandum of contract and get it recorded. But when does the Board of Commissioners say, yes, we accept this?
You can't record the memorandum because it's not signed yet.
It's not by
that's
signed
that's
report
a,
back.
That's, and that again, that's on our, that's something
days,
we do later.
They have 3 days to bring back the signed contract
yes.
or they've forfeited their 20% or pay.
You give it to them
and
in 2 days, they have 3 days to bring it back instead of seven.
Fine.
Yeah.
But we don't, again, we don't record until we record all the deeds for the cash payers as well as record the memo of the contract sales. We just go to recording one time because people who pay cash, they don't own that thing until after the commissioners have approved it and we've recorded a deed, because the deed is the activating issue to a sale, not what happened a month before at an auction or even
well,
them paying.
A certificate of sale, though, which is
still, that's not a sale.
Okay.
It's not a sale until it records. So that's
the schedule that I see on contract. It's due Tuesday. Back to you. They get it on Thursday.
They get it on Thursday, then they have to bring
it back
signed, sealed, delivered. That gives them a week from the time they raise their paddle.
Yeah.
So they've signed the contract.
And then we can address it as a board on that Thursday or something. Ish. Whenever.
Maybe not.
Whenever you guys get to it.
We've given ourselves a few days. But I think we said 30 days on that.
Oh, okay.
And we still need
because
the sheriff's return.
Because we've got to get the sheriff's return and
of
all
course.
Of that. Yeah.
I just didn't want to pile too much on Mr. Watson all of the Thursday afternoon. He'd be just jammed. This is kind of, we're just trying this for the first time.
So
you
can always
change
it.
See how popular it is. It may be real popular.
And if not, you can always change it.
Well, what's really important is that the buyer understands what his or her requirements are.
What their timeline is.
Ours can be whatever we want, because we can change that. If you're overwhelmed, and we just say, well, we won't address it at that weekly business session. We'll address it at the next one, or what have you. But it needs to be really clear and consistent in their mind of when everything's due. Oh, well, I thought that was, you know, if I did this. You don't want that.
Right.
You want it real clear.
Oh, I agree.
We actually, list have it coming back to you on September 7th to sign the deeds. That was our timeline.
Okay.
So.
When they come in and say, yeah, I want to do a time payment or contract, we should have a very, very specific at that point, hand them an actual timeline. This is when you need to be back in on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Don't come in on Wednesday and say, oh, gee, I didn't know.
Right.
Because that's...
Of course.
They need to be very specific.
Right.
Yeah, I think it might even be advantageous to put that on the contract. We can change that every time, but right at the top. Tuesday at 3. Does that sound reasonable?
That makes sense.
I think so.
Because
you can't.
And clarity
really,
helps everyone.
Yeah, you can't really say that you didn't know if it's like at the top of the contract.
We already have the contract typed.
Yeah,
completely.
I'm sure.
We just have to now tweak it with
the
stuff.
We
have to make sure that all this.
All that is consistent with what we. It looks good to me.
Okay, do you want to move it up to next week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In the meantime, we're going to put up an attached notice.
Great.
Great.
So that's got all the terms expressly laid out, and we'll see whose phone rings first.
It really needs to be
mics. Give me a couple of guesses. My webpage will be updated with the same information.
Yeah.
And as soon as we have a sample contract, I'll put a link so that anybody can observe that contract.
I think you make a good point about, you know, us not getting involved too much with the specifics, because, you know, with Commissioner Morgan not being here, she may not hear all the discussion, and there really doesn't, you don't want any confusion about what anything is.
It can be some serious.
I don't direct anything to anybody but the website and Mike, and I think that's probably the best way to go. It's all roads should lead to the property manager.
Yes, yes.
At least if you're giving a consistent message, even if it's wrong, it's consistent. So, okay, well, that sounds really good. When you brought up moving this to the next weekly business session, there's been a request, and I'm for it. Moving the weekly business session next week, instead of an evening meeting, I'd like to see about having it as a regular scheduled meeting. And let's do your evening meeting maybe the following week or a week after,
okay,
out in CJ as our monthly evening meeting for that. So you'll be on at 9 instead of 5:30 if you have to talk about this, if that helps.
Much preferable.
And here, I think we need to give notice that it's going to be an IV.
Yeah. I think the most we can do out there for them, the better off. I'd like to see it well attended.
Give a two-week kind of deal.
I'd like to see it well attended.
Maybe even have an article, a press release out of this. I can do one up, or whatever, mm-hmm, if you want to do one up, that we could put it to the IV paper.
Right, right.
Anyway.
Are you okay with the title change from what we gave you the other day?
I don't know that I read the title. You mean the order number?
The order,
for the title?
The name of the order, yeah.
The word installment? Or what?
Well, before it was just financing options.
Oh.
And then now it's
more of an overall
process.
Is,
yeah, okay.
Fine.
All right.
Okay. It's comprehensive, captures. So we've got another one, order number 2017-034, in the matter of land use compatibility statements for recreational marijuana grows.
She is, and so she just got this hot off the presses, as you did.
Okay.
I know she really wore a camouflage.
Oh, wow. Julie.
We got mine in black. Hey, give my job, you can black too.
They don't have this.
Good morning. Let me wrap my tie around.
They don't have
this. It's wrapped into this, right?
Yeah.
So I think we'll just proceed with this one. That was just another draft.
So, Ms. Meltzer or Wally, you want to, Mr. Hicks, lead us through where we're at on this?
Sure. And maybe we'll make sure Commissioner Dion is also ready to engage.
You want us to read this, or you want to?
Let me wait for Commissioner DeYoung and make sure he's ready to.
Are you reading it? Then I'm going to read it.
Is this both medical and recreational? Is this marijuana?
Recreational.
Recreational only?
Yes, it is. Yes. And the medical doesn't require a land use compatibility statement.
At this time.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. That's important information, actually. It's a good nuance to point out.
So this wording is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a copy of what we referred as a ballot question?
A copy of what?
The wording that we had in our ballot question.
The wording is exact. I looked at it.
Okay, prohibit the production of commercial recreational marijuana in all RR zones.
Great.
What happens to the people that are already doing that? Are they grandfathered?
That's a big question.
I think that'll be
beyond the scope. Out.
Yeah. What I would like to know is if that's, if I understand that we're amending the comp plan, and is that the only way to initiate a comp plan change, is for the planning director to do it, or can the board just draft an ordinance? I mean, whether we asked you to do it, I don't want this going to the Rural Planning Commission. I don't need their input on it. We're gonna lead it through that process on our own, and so I don't know if all of yours require that process or not. It doesn't mean that there aren't other things marijuana focused, but I feel as though part of the referring it as a non-binding question was that exploratory element about the nuances, and I don't want a Rural Planning Commission to get off on tangents, which they would have the latitude. And maybe that's the purpose of a Rural Planning Commission process, is to explore things that are maybe broader in scope than what this order would accomplish, would set up, charge you with. Does that make sense? That's just one nuance of a Rural Planning Commission process that's different than they don't understand necessarily. They may not understand the specific intent of this board to craft policy that will accomplish the RR prohibition kind of a thing, and the expedited process with which I think I'd like to take this to get it into that arena of the first and second reading and then adoption as soon as possible.
Well, I'll take a crack at that. Mm-hmm. So I did ask DLCD about that, Department of Land Conservation Development, which oversees my program. So I did ask them, because there was this vote and we already know what the public has wanted, do we have to go through that process? I do know that we have to go through the process of notifying DLCD. That's a 35-day notice before the first hearing. And then I know that we do have to have hearings on it. I also know some counties don't have rural area planning commissions, so they can bypass that step. I don't know if we can, though, because we have a commission. That's a question for Wally.
I'm really actually interested in the legislation that affords counties the opportunity to do time, place, and manner, and whether or not we have to follow the typical process, or is that provide us an expedited process? Or
it's probably going to be in the Rural Land Development Code rather than Oregon Revised Statutes that we're going to find that. Because remember, we don't have to have a planning commission, but if we do, then we have to abide the requirements that are out there. I'm not telling you that we have to go through. We're going to look that up.
What are the it's entirely possible. If we don't, somebody can
totally
appeal it to LUBA.
We go back to square one.
I think we're better off being consistent, so nobody has that. I
just wonder if, like, when we amended the comp plan, we didn't amend it. We just provided a text clarification with the industrial zone and affording it the opportunity for cannabis production.
That was an actual amendment.
We did an amendment on that. What was the memo where we just did a clarification to the director?
Yeah, that was a board order.
It's just an order.
Right.
The meat packing.
Clarification.
Meat.
That was the meat packing.
Yeah.
Oh, the processing.
Yeah. Comparable use.
But that wasn't the production. The production is prohibited. Was prohibited. Okay. We did a text on that. Did we go through the Rural Planning Commission on that one?
It did. I remember it was my first meeting, and I actually was there, and then it went through the whole public hearing process. And
yeah, I'm cool with ours. It just seems duplicative.
Yeah. Is this more or less like a moratorium? You're just going to stop everything right now? No further production or cultivating of?
Well, the way it is written, it says just recreational through OLCC.
On RR?
On RR.
Okay.
So
what I'm going to ask is the question going to come up and just say, hey, you haven't even made your cannabis commission or whatever you want to call it, your cannabis committee, you haven't even taken applications for that, and all of a sudden you're just stopping this on rural residential.
Well,
you haven't discussed the results of the result. Hmm?
That's what we said. It's a suspension.
It's a
new applications.
This is basically a suspension until we get more information.
I think it's, we could put new.
Just new applications is a really key point.
Yeah, new applications.
The existing 21, they're fine.
Or maybe we say received after a certain date.
And then you're...
The back of the envelope time frame on just the initiating this process after this is 5 months before this would be come into. You got a 35-day notice. You have a month-long process with the Rural Planning Commission. You might have a month, and then you've got 90 days, so it's 6 months.
You look at 6 months.
Well,
yeah.
You know, actually, because of the time frame, we're actually looking out for the grower because this will be done by the end of the year, so he doesn't get great expectations about planting in the spring.
It wouldn't be actually effective until the end of January.
Beginning
or end of January. I would like to see this done.
But then after we get information from our committee, it says, or until further order of the board. So in other words, after, if we decide what the committee comes up with and the board agrees that no, it needs to be this, this, and this, then further orders from the board will be forthcoming. This just stops anything new coming in your office. Guys, yeah, I want to grow recreational on RR5, and you go, no, that's not an option now.
Right. Okay, so it's important to know that there's 22 or so that have their license in hand from OLCC to grow on the rural residential. But there's also a couple hundred out there that are pending approval by OLCC.
Right. Yeah, the wave is still out there.
It hasn't started yet. It takes OLCC a year to 6 months to process a license, okay? So they're really far behind. So there's hundreds out there in the hopper that are waiting to be approved that we signed off on a year ago. So those we're going to see.
Does this stop them?
No.
Why not? Why can't we issue something to OLCC that says previously?
Yeah, OLCC just said we've changed.
Well, the order would have to say that. What this order says is that we would not sign any more
new
LUCs.
Okay. Well, I think we should issue a notice to OLCC. My problem is that I don't want a bunch of people who are, you know, we just had an election, and people have an expectation as a result of a 65% outcome that something's going to change. And it inevitably will. Some grandfathering may exist for some. It may not exist for any.
Well, I think
given that margin of error is there, either if OLCC chooses not to take that under advisement, then I feel we have an obligation to send notice to all of the OLCC approved new RRs and existing, potentially, that you just need to know that I wouldn't put in another $1 million greenhouse on an RR because you may very well find yourself not able to do that anymore. So somehow, I mean, we know who these people are because they're not medical. They're OLCC. Their information's out there.
Right.
And it's something, you know, if we had 22 and we've got 40, say, 200% increase in the number, we can send out 60 notices to these people that say, Order number 2017-034 has been signed by the Board of Commissioners. A process has been initiated to review OLCC on RR. And given the outcome of this six-month process, could put an all-out prohibition on cannabis cultivation under OLCC regulations on RR zones, you are hereby made aware of that potential outcome.
Put your operation on hold, and just because you applied for a driver's license, you don't get a driver's license until you pass the written test, the eye test, to take a guy for a spin. But your application means nothing. Doesn't mean you can just take off and drive. Well, they didn't get to me that day, so I'm going to drive. I don't think that's right either.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Is your intent to just regulate recreational or applications through OLCC? And the reason why I ask that is because next year at this time, the medical has to be going through there. So we already have medical growers coming in and applying to go through the OLCC road.
My intent is to reduce the conflict between marijuana production, whether it's medical or recreational. I understand we have the ability under state law to regulate time, place, and manner on OLCC regulated
medical
grows.
Too.
So
right.
That's how it's going to be. If medical's forced into the OLCC process, that's what gives us the authority to regulate time, place, and manner. But I don't want it. I don't really want that conflict anymore.
So what I'm think I'm hearing is we don't want to use the word recreational. We want to use the term OLCC, right?
That's what I would say is the safest thing.
Because if they choose to go from the medical side and say, well, I'm going to jump on and get my OLCC license, I heard that eventually from Chris Allen out there in Cape Junction when I went to the meeting, that he said that what his take on it is that within about a year, when OLCC takes over the whole shooting match, that they're just going to pull all these medical cards in, because that thing is grossly abused. Everybody's got a medical card now, and you're going to drag them all in, call them, run them through the shredder, and start all over on that medical thing. Then you won't get to have grow for a dozen different people and have these huge grows in any place. So I think that this whole thing with 91 came in before they had any rules at all, and no idea how big this thing was going to get. And now they're going to have to backfill a little bit.
Right.
So the state's going to be, we're going to be the bad guy in the room, but the state's going to be the bad guy too.
Sure. So we'll change it to say OLCC, not recreational marijuana.
Well, let's keep turning on. I mean, yeah. I think, yeah, okay, got it.
I think you understand our intent.
We understand the intent, yeah. I think
my
so they're going to allege, yes, please.
Is that, as the commissioner here just said, the how did the ballot title read? And it said,
it's a good place to start.
Could
and
we,
at the time, I was arguing that recreational is under OLCC, and that hasn't changed.
Yes.
But really, the heart of this issue is the fact that there is intense cannabis production in RR zones where it's like the difference between, I was on this conference call, forest management on BLM everywhere, and then there's ONC, which is dominant use. The dominant use for RR zones is residential. It's an ancillary use to do production. You can do production in all other resource zones, and that's where there's an ability to have less of a conflict. The priority, the dominant use of RRs is for residences, and that's what it needs to be. And there's a conflict with cannabis production to the degree that people are doing it in RR zones. And I don't know how all of this is going to shake out. There might be a threshold. Obviously, the personal use is not something we're discussing here today. We're not going to be able to do that, and I wouldn't want to. But maybe it is an OLCC regulated thing where it's under 10 plants or 15 or something less square footage, you know, under 500 square feet or in an enclosure of some sort. Or something like that. There's mitigating factors that maybe somebody could employ to where it isn't a big deal anymore on an RR zone to do a cannabis production. But I think right now we're looking to try to minimize that conflict. And until we have those but-fors in the code, in the text proposal, it's OLCC regulated because we can. And that's where it's going to start. And I'd like to see, that's where the margin for me is. It's like, well, what can you do on an RR to mitigate these challenges to a degree? And that threshold might be crazy high, where it's like, if you want to do it, you can do it. But you're going to have to do these things. Otherwise, go to a resource zone, and you don't have to do all those things. You still have to do stuff, but you don't have to do all that.
Sure. Okay. So you're saying it may come out, in the end game, it may come out to say, okay, you have a 5-acre parcel, and you want to grow 10 plants. For your own personal use, you're allowed to do that, but not 200 plants.
It's really important that we understand the law. Personal use is under a threshold of 6 or 4. Anything over six
you can't grow,
is no longer
you're
personal.
You're going to have to determine that you can't grow for anybody else. And if you have other family,
it doesn't
members,
matter if there's 100 people with cards at your personal threshold on any property is 6. And after that on a property, it's no longer personal. It's got to be under a medical program, or it's got to be under rec. And eventually, it sounds like it's all going under OLC, and they don't care whether or not you're doing it for medical or recreational purposes. OLCC is just going to govern this thing by 2019, 2 years out or whatever, year and a half from now. And that's where I'm looking to focus, because that's where the law allows us to focus. We can't do anything about the medical or the personal. And I'm saying that if somebody can mitigate these challenges under a threshold of maybe a number of plants or square footage of cultivation, interior doesn't have light coming from it, there's no emission of smells, you know, they've got scrubbers for stuff like this. I wouldn't want to say that you couldn't do it. That's where I want to be more reasonable. I think people want to, that they're going to be most upset about us being looked at as totally unreasonable. What do you mean? I can't do this. I've been doing it for a while under a medical program. Now you're saying I can't do it at all, and I'm saying, no, if you are going to do it under this program, it's going to be less than these number of plants, totally shielded from outside. You can't do this. I don't know what it's going to look like.
Can I talk about a conversation I had with a grower? Okay, yeah. And they were, two of them came in the office, and we spent about 2.5 hours, and their concern was that there's five of them all together, and they all have, they're on 10 acres of our R5 out in the valley. And they said, we've got every dime all of us have ever put is into these crops, and now you're going to say we're not allowed to do it? And I said, that's the way it's shaping up. And he said, that's just not fair. And he says, here's another thing. He said, what are you trying to stop? And I said, well, in the end run, we'd like to stop all black market. It's not coming from the recreational side. It's all
I have no market. Intent to stop the black market.
Okay.
I don't
I
care.
I want to cut that back if we can. But he says, I said, do you have any problem out in where you are? Are your neighbors mad at you or anything? He goes, no, we're good neighbors. We don't have any complaints whatsoever.
Oh, yeah.
So that's his story.
Yeah, right.
But at the same
time, we've been down that road. But anyway, yes.
But this is what he was saying to me, and it bears listening to, because he said, where you're having your trouble is with the medical side, because it's out of control and OHA can't handle it. When it gets underneath the authority of the OLCC, because he said, we have cameras, we have everything, we're doing everything the state wants, and with no problems, and now we're going to get shut down. And that's why I was asking about a grandfather. And I said, you know, would you be okay with a grandfather? But boy, you hiccup, it's gone. And he goes, we'd play that game, you bet.
I think it's a conversation we can have.
So, I mean, that's what I'm concerned about.
Because
this is going forward.
At a minimum, there's probably four different households all around that, who would say the same argument about their largest purchase in their entire life was that residence.
Well, absolutely.
And
I'm not questioning that. I've got a friend out in the Leonard Road area, and he did. He basically is 40-something years old, and he and his wife worked their rear ends off, and they got a really nice place. It's 2.5 acres. And
yeah.
Built a barn, a shop, a pool, and everything. And what do they have now? Tarps. A guy, you know, cut down trees that he had along his fence line. Cut those down because he was just going to log it all and blade it all off, and it's all in cannabis production. He felled the trees across. And he goes, hey, you just knocked my fence down. He goes, what are you going to do about it? That's the kind of guy I want to get away from. Not the guy that says, you know what, hey, I'm sorry, or hey, I need to cut these trees down. Is that okay? I want neighbors. But we don't get that with this good portion of this industry. And I brought up to the two gentlemen that were in my office, what are you going to do to fix that? Because you have an element of your industry that's really, really bad. And that's where you get the bad name. And of course,
I've thought about that as having, like, you have to have all your neighbors sign off. That is not a code. That is not a law.
No, because your neighbor is going to change.
No, because of the combative nature that puts. I'm not interested in signing off. I don't care what they do. They need to just abide by the rules. They don't need to come to me. You know? It's going to be challenging.
Yes,
I want to say right up front that evaluating the efficacy of looking at a policy crafted, I would venture to say that we don't have any of our code that is looking from a law enforcement black market element on any subject. Just that's really might be outside of our scope. The RLDC is focused on mitigating challenges between neighbors based on the 1970s zoning element, and that's just philosophy back to state law on it. That's my goal, is trying to work with that code to mitigate the challenges between neighbors, and so we'll figure out if we can accomplish that one in the in the text, but otherwise, you know, that's that going back to the root of why we have zones.
Would it be better then to change the title and language within the document to say to provide, instead of saying to provide for regulation to prohibit blah blah blah, to just say to provide for regulation, and then as or do you want it to be very clear that it's prohibiting?
You're taking, you know, that there's a margin of error about how one could do production in RR.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably something for Commissioner DeYoung to weigh in on. Mine is, there might be a margin of error here. What I'm looking to do is initiate a process that explores mitigating these challenges of RR on production RR.
Well, that's what we ask in the exploratory question, is what are your feelings about RR5, production, or recreational production on RR5? And maybe that's the only part we should address with this, because that's what
it was written for. But
that's
now I'm hearing other things.
I think there's nuances to the conversation that haven't come out yet. You know, we asked for a prohibition.
Yep.
So I know that that's okay. We could go to the full extent and say, we're going to, you know, that's okay with the people. 65% said, yeah, go ahead, totally prohibit it. But if I can not prohibit it and mitigate all of the challenges that led to that 65% of the odors and the things you're looking at, maybe we can't. So maybe prohibition is the only way to get there, to solve the issues that you were talking about with those. But maybe we can. I don't know. So going to outright prohibition doesn't really provide the Rural Planning Commission the latitude to talk about
other possibility.
I don't know. That's not for me to necessarily decide alone. It's the board to give direction on how this. What I don't want is a bunch of stuff provided as options that really don't work. You know, and that's fine, I guess, if they go through that process and they explored it, and those, you know, we go through it and it's like, that doesn't work. You know, you can't get sign off by these neighbors, all the owners, because that leads to intimidation. Or you buy, what's it going to take for you to sign off on my OLCC Lux? How much? $20,000 to make you happy? $40,000?
Exactly.
You know, that's extortion. That's not how property owners should work. That's not.
You know, I just think that, you know, I'm just thinking of these guys that they start a legitimate business, legal, and then all of a sudden we come along and say, no, it's not legal here. Get it out of here. And I think they need to have consideration in the room.
So it sounds as though you're looking.
There's an awful lot of people.
For
a potential. There are some growers out there that are doing everything by the book, and every hurdle you threw in front of them, they hopped over it.
Yeah.
And paid their deal, did their dues, buy water, you know, cover the plants up, use scrubbers, you name it. They do everything by the book, and a blanket coverage there.
Yeah, and we're still going to make them.
We're still, you're just going to keep throwing stuff at me until I quit.
So I interpret Commissioner DeYoung's.
And I don't know whether that's what we want to do either.
There's a margin there for him, too.
But I don't know how you word that.
Okay.
All we do is we take out the word prohibition and looking for regulation.
And we leave in the stuff from what the voters said, because that's what happened.
And we certainly want the option to all out prohibition if we can't come to some kind of an agreement. I mean,
we could say that, including. If
to an including.
Yeah.
There you go.
Make it work a little harder for it, you know.
That sounds good.
Okay. Is this something you want for next week?
We can launch it on that. I mean, basically. Actually, I don't know that we do need one more point of conference, which is.
What were you going to. Go ahead. Finish yours and then we'll come to. Go ahead. Nope. Go ahead,
Wally. Okay, I was going to suggest. Okay, so as far as these couple of hundred Lux that have been approved by the county but have not been approved.
By OLCC.
What do you want to do about those? This is your chance to do
everybody
something.
Everybody should be put on notice that we're exploring this opportunity that may lead up to a all-out, no-grandfathering prohibition of OLCC licensed grows in RR zones. And in my opinion, everybody should just be put on notice.
Anything that hasn't been all the way through, they don't have a license yet anyway to OLCC. Grants them one, correct?
Yes.
So they're still in, you know, they still.
But by our standard, they met the requirements today.
Right.
We've signed off.
They met the local standard at that time. That's fine.
But I think, in all fairness, they need to know that Under the law, we have the ability to do restrictions and time, place, and manner. And we do not have to grandfather these people. And I think they just need to know before they sink $1 million into the ground. And I've told everybody who has asked me, so where do you think that this is going to go? Because over the last year and a half, 2 years, I'm the guy who's still sitting here, who has been thinking about this. And thank you. I think we're tracking really, really well on where we'd like to see this go. You should have asked, you know, I'm right here. How many people called and said, I'm about ready to write a check for $1 million into soil and tearing, you know, all this stuff? Man, I'd ask somebody who's maybe making policy on this stuff about where you think it's going to go.
Why would you think that?
Well, I think just by example, we asked this question. I've been thinking about asking this question for a year. That's not, that's an indicator out there that...
Would you say there's how many that you've already processed that are legitimate grows now?
Well, there's 22 on the list.
Okay, so there's 22 OLCC licensed ones in rural residential that have gone through and got their license from OLCC. Yep. That does not mean they ever followed up and got all their permits from us.
Okay.
You know, so I personally look at, you know, do they have their license? Do they have all their permits? Are they legit? Those I do feel there should be some grandfathering for.
But if there's 22 of those and the groundswell was 65%, what happens when there's 122 or 222 and you sent that ballot measure out there again? Holy cow.
Well, you know, the other thing is, too, like with medical, OMMP offered a program for people to become grandfathered through the medical program. And for our county, 11 people have taken advantage of that opportunity.
Out of 2,300
or whatever it is. So we know that we have 33 that I would consider safe, provided they got all their permits, which we don't know if they did.
This stuff just falls in a hole out there. There's just so many places to hide.
I know from my perspective, I think I understand what you want, and I come back and bring some drafts back to you from what I need to do. I think it's just hammering on this piece right here.
I think we've made good progress. I think we're actually working on step two, refining policy, but this establishes the process and starts it, and I think that's really what we wanted to do today.
Okay.
We're going to be working on this diligently for probably a six-month process, so it's far from over. But my answer to people in general is, you know, if you're going to look to establish a long-term business, I would do it in an appropriate place where you know you're going to be safe. Nobody knows that they're going to be safe for anything. This administration may take a different tact entirely and say, what you guys are doing out there is so unregulated. This is not the intent of when the Fed said, yeah, go ahead and do a well-regulated state program. We're going to not do it at all anymore. You guys, it's not going to be legal anymore.
How did Jackson County do this?
It was already in their RLDC that required, that prohibited commercial agriculture production in their RR zones, all of them. And so they're not having this problem because it was already in their code. I'm not sure that I like that. You know, if I've got a 5 or 10 acre parcel and I want to be able to grow strawberries, you're saying that I live on prime farmland out Lower River Road and I can't supplement my income with 2 or 3 acres of strawberries? No challenge to the neighbors at all, you know. Tons of people out there are doing hay production. There's probably 100 people out there that grow hay. They're paying into the irrigation district for the opportunity to irrigate a commercial crop. And they can't do that anymore? No, that's not.
Well, keep in mind, too, we used to be predominantly zoned agricultural, and then there was a big movement to push all that into rural residential, and that passed. And I believe at that time, my understanding is those people were told they could continue to farm.
Yeah.
So they all bought into it, and now we're stuck, so to speak, with all this rural residential land.
It's got pretty good farm capability, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Out where Mary Gross lives out there in that area, that's great farmland. So I wouldn't want to do that. That's not my intent here. It's just a lot of that agricultural production on RR doesn't have the same degree of conflict that we're seeing with the cannabis industry. It's also not year-round, you know. Mm-hmm. Hay production's a very finite amount of time, but cannabis and these major greenhouses and other kind of grows, it's a long-term
impact. Does time, place, and manner to apply to strawberries and corn or anything like that?
Actually, no.
Only cannabis. Only
legislation affords us just time, place on marijuana.
I will say this to a lot of the people that we deal with. Like, there are some realtors out there who will not show anybody a residential property anymore because they see something coming. And I get attorneys, I had one this morning call me and say, I have a client, they're buying this property for marijuana. Can you give me any feeling here? You know, so the attorneys are checking as well because they don't want their client to be stuck with something that they can't use for marijuana. So People are beginning to realize.
There's so many nuances to this element of like making our, we have a challenge, housing challenge. You know, price of real estate in RR had been going up to a prohibitive level, not because of the RR market, but because of the potential for cannabis production on it. And it's like, that's not, it's causing another challenge with, you know, she had people coming and they were wanting cannabis production on RR without even having a residence there. Why would I want a residence there? That's a challenge that I don't need. I've already got a place to live. I don't need to establish a rental or whatever. I can just grow. It's like, no, you're taking an RR zone property out of the residential production market. No, that's exacerbating our...
Another one is that growers are going to people that have a Mary Groves, for instance, and saying, you're not doing hay anymore? And said, no. Her name came up, by the way.
I just said she had great farmland.
It's here. I'll give you $20,000. You're not using your land. I'm going to give you $20,000. And she goes, yes. Well, where does that one fall in this?
It's all with the cracks? Permit. No.
You know, our comp plan that we have adopted, and I'm not sure how many people have looked at it, but we have to look at several elements. Agriculture, housing is one of them. And we're almost sacrificing our affordable housing for a crop. And we're in a housing crisis. So if we can save the rural residential lands for the houses, like Commissioner Hare was saying, the prices will eventually start dropping on that land again, and we'll be able to meet some of our housing needs as well. And that's
I think they're all related. But you don't fall through the cracks if you're renting. You still have to go through, the production person has to go through the OLCC process and get the permit in hand to then be able to do it on that property, and it wouldn't work. You know, you don't get out of it by just renting. Plus, when we did the pilot project 3 years ago, or however many years ago, there's 20,000 arable acres in Josephine County that's in a less productive state than it should be. Most of the time it's fallow grasslands. And so there's plenty of opportunity, even in Josephine County, to do all of the recreational grow or OLCC government grow anybody would want, you know. So that's where it needs to go, ideally. That's where the water is. That's where the spacing and it's more compatible use. Okay.
Okay.
Let's move it along. Thank you for your guys' work on that, you know, capturing our intent.
What are we doing in the future? Then are we bringing it back next week? Are we bringing another draft back?
No, I'd like to see it move for approval to the WBS, if that's okay. It'll be at 9 a.m.
That's realistic.
On the 12th of July? At this point, this is the easy stuff, initiating the process.
Okay, good.
Anything else for the board?
We will be back in 1 hour. For what could become a very contentious issue, AMR and Mercy Flights.
You think so?
Possibly, yes. Yes, but this is an effort by the board to be the peacemaker. So,
so we invited the parties to the table?
Yes, you did.
Great.
Yes. Okay. And they both confirmed they'll be here. So.
Great.
Well, it'll You'll be hear both sides and try
nonetheless.
To...
Yeah, I'd like to get my head around it and just figure out where we can find some deals. You're going to be there, obviously, for Clarity and Beecher. And Pat, or
yes,
Beecher is a big part of that. No,
well, do I have to?
Not you.
No, we can survive without Pat. We can put it back to more productive use.
But Beecher's
Beecher
really
beer.
Part of the AMR, or the emergency service
yes.
plan.
Yes.
Contract. That's really
very
important.
Knowledgeable about that.
Okay, good.
Diane will be here, Hoover, and Larry is going to be here too, because he knows about the airport side of things.
Okay. Item number two.
So, that's what we got.
Quarterly department updates. We've got fairgrounds here. Ms. Anderson. How are you?
It's been a busy morning.
Not bad.
Exciting fairgrounds, and they all just scatter.
That's right. Everybody just leaves.
Yeah, you've got a little over a month, right?
Huh?
A little over a month.
Oh, yeah. We're just about
to your big shindig.
And everything's tracking the way it should be tracking. I mean, you know, we're moving forward.
Good.
We had a little bit of excitement about a week and a half ago, and thank you to Commissioner DeYoung. We thought we had a national act that may be coming through.
Oh.
I found a sponsor for this act and actually put in an offer on it. Of course, our time frame was really, really shrunk up.
Yeah.
And he did not accept it. Mm. We went back with the counter for another day, and he still didn't accept it. So with my prospective sponsor, he has taken his offer for next year. So we're going to be on the table. I have found a way to get it fully funded.
That's fantastic.
So I'm really jazzed about that. We really felt, and with talking to Commissioner DeYoung, if it wasn't really the right one to break into it, I'd rather wait and do it right. And so we made that decision. And so it's been pretty exciting.
Yeah, and I think we probably could have pulled it off if we'd had two more months lead time or something. It probably would have worked out better.
But it had to be exactly the right artist.
Yeah.
And they came back with a counter on an artist, and it wasn't the right artist, and I didn't feel good about it.
Yeah.
Because I have one shot to make this pot perfect for future endeavors for Josephine County.
Sure.
And I don't want to do it halfway. It either has got to be the right one.
Trying to start something that will be transcended year after year after year like it used to be.
I think there were a lot of positives probably about the Balloon Festival, but it felt as though it was a really rushed... And regardless of whether or not I've had more time, and there was some organizational elements that you almost only can figure out once you do it. So maybe it's not such a bad idea that they rush through it. I just don't know if you had your one shot, if they're actually even going to revisit the issue again in the future because of the challenges that they experienced. I think that's really wise to kind of almost take a page out of that and just...
I did. We just took a step back.
Really
well, the good, really good news is that I've done it before.
Yeah.
I've had that kind of an event before. And we could have made it work over the weekend, hoping that we were moving forward, connected with the right parties. Never did divulge who it was because couldn't do that.
Yeah.
But went through and be sure that we had sound, lights, security, everything was in place. So by Monday, when it didn't work, we still were ready to pull the trigger if we needed to. We had to be ready to go.
Sure.
So, anyway, that was really exciting. And what's really exciting is that the offer's still on the table with my sponsor.
Excellent.
For next year. So, that's going on. We've got some things going on where Dan Kirkman is going to be moving forward. He came to me as a sponsor about 6 months ago about striping our parking lot. That's about ready to happen, just to restripe what we've got on the fairgrounds.
Restripe what you have in the first portion above, like, the commercial?
By the commercial building.
Yeah, it wouldn't make a lot of sense where you guys do your bicycle.
No, I'm not going to touch the Team Oregon area.
Yeah, okay, good.
Because horse trailers pull through there.
Yeah, which is.
And then in front of the agriculture and the area where we do the bingo, we're going to do short little stripes that are actually going the different way so that people can park in front of the building because that's how they do it.
Yeah.
And so that's going on. I had a really interesting meeting with Pacific Power and with Blue Sky, which is going to happen tomorrow, and they're going to look at the commercial building, and we're talking about some evaluations that we possibly can go forward with solar panels and things like that. They have some money sitting out there, and it's just a good way. I've invited Mary Groves to join me on that since she's still doing our grant writing piece of it. So they will be out tomorrow on that. And
the commercial building?
The commercial building. And reassessing what I've got on the grounds.
Yeah, I just wonder if that's the structurally soundest one.
Well, we're gonna look at everything. We've got the arts and crafts.
Yeah, some of those others are
and the pavilion
built.
So They're just going to take a look at everything and see what we've got and do us a little bit of a assessment to see where we're at, just because I happen to have a good relationship with PP&L in Medford. So that's worked out really well. But in the middle of that, I put the two entities together with Dutch Bros, because they had expressed, when I did my sales call in Medford, they expressed to get with Dutch Brothers possibly and have a discussion about what they could do as far as maybe some kind of a area where the heat didn't generate in with the kids on the track, but you can't, you know, there's a lot of other pieces, stores involved, you know, we're involved, Bombs, it's going to take all of
facilities. We changed the name today.
Pardon me?
Bomb is no longer, we changed the name to Facilities today.
Oh, Facilities.
Yeah,
oh, right.
Talking about Bombs and Courthouses.
Oh, yeah, Bombs and Courthouses, yeah, okay, Facilities.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
I'm
liking that, okay. So anyway, put them together and had a candid conversation with Jennifer Wheatley, and it looks like we're going to get one more use out of the infield for this year's fair, and that wasn't on the table until just a couple days ago.
Yeah.
But I haven't got it in writing, and I'll go
through
the proper...
A little bit longer.
Yeah. So, because they did that quick extension.
Well, after they lease it, you know, which they have to do within 90 days,
right.
They can do almost anything they want, right?
Right.
So, yeah, letting you do what you need to do is...
It's
not going to require an amendment to the contract or
okay.
anything like that.
Okay. Well, I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, that's
so
going to be great.
And especially because we've got that new horse show on Friday and Saturday. We're very, very hesitant about how we're going to get all the horse trailers and everything in, because they've got...
A good spot for them.
It's a great spot to be able to do that. So, moving forward with that, and then... I've been kind of looking around in the Oregon Racing Commission and have been asked to possibly put in my name for the Racing Commission. I'm really thinking about it. And so I'd like to have your blessing on that. If I move forward, there would be no cost to the county if I was to do that. They pay your expenses to come and go out of Portland. And I've visited with them at depth on that. I have not asked my fair board yet. I really wanted to bring that here first. I don't think that would be a conflict of interest with what we've got going. I know that in the Racing Commission that I don't think they have an idea of what we all go through at the fair side of it. And with five different fairs hosting horse racing, we don't host, we're there, we're part of it, but we're sort of takes that over. It might be a good fit to have.
I think you should certainly be at the table or somebody can.
No one's there. No one's there at the table.
It's something to consider, but I think we did take kind of a fairgrounds involvement trajectory change about 4 years ago when we elected to not host, so to speak. We don't get a share of the profits the way
right.
we used
Correct.
To.
We don't.
It's a flat rate. You know, it's really, you guys need to figure out a way to sink or swim on your own. And here's a facility. You guys have put a ton of work into it. I know that they dropped, you know, $120,000 in the soil and stuff about 6 years ago. So they've done a lot of stuff, but it's like the fairgrounds doesn't want too much of a fiscal tie, but anything we can do to help them sounds really good. So that would be the tie-in for me, but not to go backwards in that relationship.
Well, we're not going to run it.
I think it works really well for us to have that arm's length.
I think it's important that the fairgrounds are represented at the policy board, which is the
commission.
The racing commission.
Yeah.
You know, they need to be saying, well, these are the challenges we have if you
come
into a fairground, for Pete's sake, during fair time.
Well, they don't know. They're all vets or they're lawyers in Portland, and they don't have anyone that's in this capacity. So I just found it, and it wasn't local that asked me. It was through the state. So that has come up. So, you know, kind of running that through.
I think it's a good idea, but I'm only one commissioner.
Right.
And there's three of us.
Well, if it doesn't involve...
Wendy wants to say.
Well, and we're not going to be running any horse race meet here. I mean, the county. I mean, I wouldn't even assume to think that. That isn't even in our
program. As long as there's an organization that will do it, we get the benefit from it. And you don't have to turn a tap. I don't see a problem with that.
Well, there's some things that have come through, because I went back over the last year and a half of minutes, and I didn't realize the contributions that maybe Sora got from the State Racing Commission, like $200,000 that's in your notes. that was kind of interesting, because there's a time when the fairgrounds is going to have, I would like to see Sora put some money into the grounds, to the barns and the area in the back that they use, that we don't use for anything.
Yeah, they need to have,
we have
so
to really
look at
that.
So when we had that agreement before, when we were running it, we weren't getting hardly any support from the Racing Commission.
Right.
Sora took it over, and then it was like, here you go.
Yeah.
All this
will
help.
You see what I wrote in that note?
No, I haven't, but
okay.
I will. I'll read it for sure. That would have maybe changed our opinion.
Absolutely.
Of the contract that we signed with them.
Sora.
I don't know how long that contract is, but there should be, like, the Y has a minimum financial investment contribution for their lease agreement that Sora doesn't have. There's nothing in there that says you have to maintain XYZ at a certain level.
I think
that's
it should
not
be
appropriate.
I agree with that.
So
I absolutely
I don't know when
agree
we renew
that.
That lease agreement, but
it's year to year.
Okay, that we don't do next year's without some consideration.
I
to
absolutely agree with that.
A minimum level of.
I had no idea the contribution though until I read it in the minutes through Reagan Rose Racing.
Yeah.
So
that
I
would
just,
be really good for you to be part of that then for those kinds of things.
Well, just I was shocked.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way. I was surprised. So we're
lease
just going to have to hold.
Was initiated, 4 years ago or so with the intent that we make an effort to be a partner and that we're not going to take everything, But it wasn't supposed to be permanently that way, get it underway. The online betting and all that stuff that's come on new, the
mm-hmm.
television element to it, that changes the dynamic
of
profitability. And I'm not so sure that they need to try to, subsidize the fairgrounds, but...
I don't think we're asking for that.
No, they need to make sure that they're covering their costs adequately and really they're the ones who use the racetrack and the grandstands predominantly. 9 days is taking its toll and the bathrooms. And
well, and truly, they move in on May 1.
And they don't,
leave until May July
15th.
15th, let's just say the last race meeting is on the 9th. It's just that this is a way for me to be able to look a little bit better for the county to be sure that we kind of know what's going on, too.
But didn't they offer something? Didn't they offer a percentage of their
10%
of their net?
We yes.
wanted to go for gross. I asked him if we wanted to go 2% or 1.5% of the gross.
That makes a difference, the way you look at that.
Well, it sure would. I mean, it should. And of course, he said no. I did. Pretty fast on that too, I
know. Yeah. Well, and I think that we would need a negotiating power that is at this board level and a legal level. So, because this is, they're not going to want to give anything up. So that's coming up. We put together a proposal and I sent it out to all the Rotaries about some cooling stations on the grounds. Mm. And so I'm out there for 4 of them. Two of the different Rotary clubs have agreed to sponsor that. Siskiyou Health has come forward for one of them, and I'm still looking for one more to be sponsored. And then it dawned on me that we really needed to put in the cooling station area for the ticket booth for the posse, because there's no heat relief out there at all.
No.
And after I watched them literally fall out of the booth last year in the heat, I've put together some ticket booths, and there's 6 of them that need to have air conditioners, and I've got 5 of them covered, so I'm right there of having all 6 have power. So, and they were pretty excited last night when I was at their meeting to let them know that we actually were going to.
How is that possible to AC?
They fly power. They fly power, and they've got power built into them. We have to have a real electrical person do it.
Yeah, I just mean
it's just a portable. We're going to build a shelf just like what we did in Umatilla County.
Okay.
We'll build a shelf. They'll plug them in for the 4 days. We take the shelf out, seal it back up.
How effective is it going to be? Because the whole thing is just fairly open.
Well, but it's just like
any relief is going to be better for them.
I end up giving an air conditioner sitting right back. It's one of those little guys that rolls around in it, and it
sure.
blows air out of the top of it. Didn't do anything. I was in the commercial building. I just drag it out there for the fair and plug it in. And it just gives you just a smidgen of relief. If you can just step over in front of that for a few minutes, then you can go and do some more, and then you can step over in front of
it. I just mean they're so open. So the ratio of openness
for
the commercial
building
is not the same as the ratio of openness. And you got that big window open, and the door is usually open.
Right.
Maybe they close the door?
They will close the door.
They'll close
the
door.
That's what they
said. You'll find that.
And maybe a plexiglass you know.
Well, it'd have to come down a ways.
Bars.
Yeah.
But you got to be able to have
bars. Right, to get your hands through there.
But those
chicken
boots aren't any more than, what, 6 foot by 6 foot?
Maybe.
Maybe.
If they're that. If they're that.
Okay.
Just a little $150.
I still want an AC in the whole universe.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's just going to be a little wind. It's just going to cut the heat.
It won't do anything for global warming. You'll be all right.
I'm not worried about it.
Well, and the other thing, too, is I needed to get it. And I even had two classmates that donated me a couple $100 for air conditioning for that. So, you know, I've been very fortunate with
classmates
that.
Classmates from your
classmates,
class of
two of my
six.
Coffee club are really? Giving me money.
That's super.
Yeah. So that's really
I'll
good.
I'll bring it up to the class of 67.
Oh, yeah. I need one more.
I don't think
need one more. I picked one up last night at the... So, anyway, just a lot of things are going on. You'll see in your reports we're busy all the time. We're in the black. Makes me feel good. You know, we're moving forward.
How's your big deposit. Swap meet thing shaping up? Cause that's
yeah, for the car swap meet.
Mm-hmm. 2 months from now?
We've taken that on ourselves. So a lot of indication that they couldn't. I think we have 70 spots filled, maybe.
Wow.
So
how many spots total?
About 120.
That's exciting.
So that's definitely going forward. Mary was in today and ran two more credit cards through. So that's moving forward. We've got a huge RV sale coming up in a couple weeks. We'll Guarantee RV out of Junction City.
Wow.
So they'll be there. It's over, I think they move in like the 19th, 20th, 21st, and then they're there 22nd, 23rd, 24th.
They drive all of those down from Junction City.
They did it for Medford.
Yeah.
Any bites on the roof?
Huh?
The 4-H building? For the barns?
Actually, interestingly enough, I think with that, I think that 4-H has secured a bridge loan. Because they didn't want the county to own those pens. And so 4-H has secured a bridge loan for the balance of the pens until the money comes in from Rotary. And so what that means is that the auction for Friends of the Fair, that was talked about whether to do, you know, to finish the pens. They were funding that. They were funding the panels or the barn roof. And so they're going
to
put $24,500 towards the barn roof. So they'd like to do one more fundraiser for that they think that they can get that and zero in on that 4-H roof.
Well,
and
that'd be super, because I don't know whether it can last another year.
I'm not sure it is either.
I don't want to get another situation like Dimmock.
Well, and then today, yesterday, actually over the weekend, some of the, you know, we keep putting plastic on that bigger outdoor arena roof, and some of it blew off day before yesterday, so I have an email in to Ryan. Because I think that there's a little bit of a warranty in there because they just put it on about 3 months ago.
Yeah, that's not good. They should have had it secured down.
Anyway,
okay.
We're moving forward.
Great.
Things are good. You know, come to the fair. I've got posters in there.
Thank you.
That's it.
Sounds real good. What's next on the agenda? Maybe Arthur?
What's that?
You're up.
Fair is good. They have 20,000 more than what the fair board, the fair association, gave them to run next year's fair. So that's a good thing. The main thing that I have...
You mean their ending fund balance was 20,000 higher than they anticipated?
Higher than what...
Their ending fund balance was only going to be 7.
Right, no, they're at 73 right now, and the Oregon Fair Association gave them 53. Which really should be for this coming fair.
Sure.
I mean, you know, so 20,000 they're ahead. Yeah, I mean, on all counts. So that's donations. I mean, mostly donations.
Keep an eye on them.
Yeah, doing great. So what? Two things. A quick thing, just to let you know, Ryan Johnson from Facility Services called me today. And said that a couple of the HVAC units went out, Public Works, $8,500, and the Transit Building, $5,600. So everything, I mean, it's pretty small. He'll just take it out of his repair budget for the, you know, that he has a general repair budget. But just to let you know that
Public
happened.
Works, is that for their whole building out there?
That's what it said. He said the main section of Public Works, so they might have a couple smaller ones. Well, they do have that one shop.
There's multiple sections, I'm sure.
Yeah, so the main section, so $8,500. They're probably using your competitor to fix it up, I'm sure.
I don't have a competitor anymore.
And then the second thing is just to bring forward to next Wednesday, it's the another biennial agreement from Oregon Health Authority for the mental health grant. It's 100% pass-through money. It's pretty much what we got last time, mm-hmm. last biennium. And it's just a continuation of the program. It 100% goes to options. Federal money going to the state. State gives it to the county. County gives it to options. Everybody's happy. So.
Great.
And that's what I brought forward. Any questions on anything?
So I'm reviewing a, just to let you know, Commissioner DeYoung, an RFP for legal services. So we put in a part-time person 2 years ago in legal, office assistant, made it full-time a year and a half ago. The challenge is that we've got a backlog of projects that need, all roads lead to legal, and then they lead to the board. And so I talked to Wally, Councilor Hicks, about what would it look like if we were to outsource some of the things in your office to free you up to be able to do the things that we'd like to see done in a more timely fashion. I'm not saying that we do that, but it would sure be interesting to go take a look and see what could we outsource. And he was suggesting that we look at planning types of processes would be outsourced. I know that planning's revenues are been increased with the activity that they've had going on over there, so that wouldn't necessarily be, with taking the board out of ISF, there's money potentially where we could finance this position or this on-call or contract services for legal. There's a lot of counties that do this. It reduces the need for in-house expertise on such a wide variety of issues, and so, and it prioritizes just that person working on planning issues to get those in a timely fashion. So I think it actually goes pretty well with the code codification. You know, you get that done, and you're not handing a contract attorney some arduous, non-consistent kind of a document they could base their stuff off of. So I think that's necessary to have that done before you could hand this off to somebody that says this is our code, can you go do it? So just a thought. I don't know where the board's going to come out on that, but honestly, you guys have an opportunity to review the RFP, the whole concept, before we move anywhere else with it.
Speaking of that, I did talk to legal counsel or Hicks, and hopefully next week they'll bring the Ramsey operating agreement. I'm scheduled to be gone next week, so. Mm-hmm. But this is the operating agreement where they substitute Hugo Hills to Ramsey. So as soon as it's an agreement between Oregon Housing, Hugo Options Incorporated, and the county, and for the operation of Hugo Hills, but we've substituted Ramsey Place for Hugo Hills. So once that agreement is signed, then that frees up Hugo Hills. Oregon Housing will release Hugo Hills back to the county, and we can then do with it what we want. So hopefully that'll be next week. So.
All right, sounds real good.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything, Commissioner DeYoung?
No, I don't think I have anything.
Is that where we're at on the agenda? I was
already.
We did the WBS next week. And we have a meeting here at 3 o'clock. If you missed anything, we can catch it then. Otherwise, I think we'll kind of take a break for about 35 minutes. So if nothing else, the board's adjourned at 2:23, 2:24.